It's time for the final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick on the east side, Darren McFarlane a little south of town, down the road in Smyrna. Chase McCabe over on the west side, doing our shows from our respective homes as we continue on. And we are showcasing the first day of voting in the Nashville sports bracket. We're trying to crown the best Nashville athlete of the last 30 years. So we're going back to 1990. And so one of the four brackets is open today, and we've been updating you throughout the day, and we will do that again before the show is over. But one of them is the famed 8 seed versus 9 seed, always a tough matchup. Thomas Fokoun of the Predators, Taylor Lewan, the fine left tackle for the Tennessee Titans, and the voting is hardcore. But it gives us a chance to catch up with some of these great athletes, and so we have called upon Thomas Fokoun to come on the show, not necessarily to lobby for himself, but I'm sure if he has the floor, if he would like to do that. But either way, it's always great to talk to Mr. Fokoun. Thomas, thanks for joining us.
How you doing, guys? Glad to be here.
We are hanging in there, just like everybody else, I'm sure yourself included. But Thomas, you'll be, first of all, very glad to know that Chris Mason has been lobbying on your behalf on Twitter to get people to vote for you in this very prestigious matchup.
He's a good friend, I got to say.
So how have you been doing? I know everybody has been having to cope with all of this, and everybody safe where, in your neck of the woods?
Yes. I mean, silver lining all of this is actually, you know, being able to be with my daughters, my older daughters in college, and she came home, so we're home as a family, but obviously, you know, trying to do my part and follow, you know, kind of follow the guidelines what they give us and trying to, you know, protect myself, protect other people, and stay home and do whatever, you know, the authorities tell us to do. And that way trying to, you know, hopefully we can overcome this this really bad issue we have and, you know, as soon as possible. So.
Well, you just illustrated it. A lot of people who are dads that have children in college have had their kids come home, and so you said it. There's a lot of family bonding time available. Some people kind of have fun with it and say, "Hey, I like spending time with my family," but man, it's tough to have everybody in the same quarters for 24 hours a day. So are you guys getting out? How are you staying active and taking advantage of the time?
You know, obviously, us being in Florida, you know, the weather permits, so we can go outside and kind of exercise and all that. But we haven't had the problems yet, you know. Sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice. I don't know what's going on. But, no, it's been, you know, we've been playing games at night, watching TV together, so it's been fun. I gotta say, you know, I don't know. My daughter's 20, so I don't know if I'm gonna have a same amount of time be able to spend with her like that. So, like I said, if there's something, you know, good out of the bad situation, that would be it. You know, to be able to be with her and be together as a family and all that. And you know, obviously, I've been talking to a lot of friends and people over the phone and stuff like that. So. You know, we're all together in this thing, and you know, I know it's very tragic what's going on in Europe, and you know, I go a lot to Northern Italy skiing and in the summer mountain biking, and it's, you know, it's terrible what's going on over there too. So you know, I'm just, you know, hoping for this. Hopefully we're able to, you know, find a cure and the virus disappears or something. I mean, I'm praying for anything, you know. It is a real tragedy. So
no question. It really is a time for all of us to get a perspective on what's happening throughout the world. You mentioned your friends in Northern Italy. I hear particular countries being mentioned and updates and things like that. I'm curious, your home country, the Czech Republic. Well, I haven't heard too much specifically about them. What's it like over there?
They're on lockdown. I mean, they closed the borders. I mean, we're right in the middle of the Europe, so we're basically, you know, all the trucking lines and all that goes through us. So, but other than trucks, I think we're close to all the most of the, you know, the countries in European Union kind of close their borders, and same as here, everybody's, you know, everybody's asked to be home and social distancing and all that. So I think the Europe is kind of like, especially Czech and Italy, Germany, Austria. There's a lot of migration, obviously, because of the European Union. And there was spring break in Europe. So a lot of people went skiing in Italy and Austria into the Alps. And that's how the whole thing spread. So, they've been going through it for some time. And they're in a way maybe, you know, 2-3 weeks ahead of us in the progression of the virus and how many people are getting infected and all that. So, but it's very similar to what's going on here. I mean, you know, especially Italy is probably somewhere along the lines. The northern Italy part is along the lines of New York, and Czech is. I mean, there's like, you know, I don't know how much they're testing and all that, but there's like 3,500 cases and all that. But even that, there's, you know, it's a small country of like 9 million people. So, I'm sure there's a lot more. You know, Prague is a huge tourist destination. It's literally empty, just like any other London or any Milano or any of these cities, New York City. So, you know, nobody, I think, could expect this, but, you know, we just have to try and, like they say, you know, bend the curve and kind of do our part individually to because last thing, I mean, I was very disappointed in people when I see here in spring breaks, people partying on the beach and all that. And, you know, especially young people, I know maybe it's not mm-hmm. as dangerous for them, but it's like, you know, every one of us has either parents or grandparents, or, you know, people who are older or have some kind of medical issue, and we should be all responsible. This is not time, you know, to take that thing or those things lightly. So
we're talking to Thomas Vokoun, former goaltender, of course, for the Nashville Predators. And he now lives down in South Florida. As many of you remember, he spent many years with the Florida Panthers during his career as well. Had some great years there. So, Thomas, we've all tried to be creative to get through this process, and that's one of the reasons we bracket this field of 64 best athletes in Nashville over the last 30 years. I'm curious, in your household, I mean, we're all nominating TV shows and shows online like Netflix that we're watching. So in your household, what are some of the most popular shows that you guys are watching?
Well, I just finished two shows, and I watched Tiger King. I mean, it's very popular.
Of course, right? Everybody, who hasn't watched Tiger King?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's the thing now. So I couldn't resist. I watched that, and I've been watching in the past. I've been watching Ozark, and the new season came on Friday. So I was able to finish the third season in 2 days. So
wow. Okay, that's the next one. That's the next one I'm going to watch, because I've seen the first two season, so that is on my list to do. So you give it a thumbs up. Season 3 does not disappoint.
Absolutely. No, it doesn't. It's awesome. Definitely worth watching.
We're talking to Thomas Vokoun, longtime Nashville Predators goaltender, and, you know, obviously things are bigger than hockey right now. There's a hope to resume the season at some point, but, you know, who knows what exactly is going to happen. But As a former player that went through, you know, situations with whether it was a lockout or, you know, something like that, even all-star breaks or Olympic breaks or what have you, but how do you try and stay active and stay in shape in case the season were to resume for these guys?
Well, for them it's tougher, no question about it. I mean, all the gyms are closed. Obviously, these guys have the resources to, you know, to buy the equipment for them at home, and that's probably what I would do if I needed to. But, it's obviously different in the middle of the season when something like this happened. And, you know, it's not just the physical aspect of it. It's the mental aspect. Everybody has family. Everybody's worried. Obviously hockey is an international sport. There's people from all over the world playing in NHL and all that. So they, you know, I don't know if people, when back to their respective country, or they stay, or what, you know, that's, I'm sure that's, every, you know, every individual player made a decision based on what he wants to do. But, you know, you can still do workouts. And, I mean, there's, you know, with your own body, you know, you can do lots of things, and you have to. I mean, I don't need to come back and play, and I still trying to be active and all that. You don't want to be sitting, you know, we've been for 15 days. This is our 16th day. We've been under those quarantine, and, you know, it's not easy to sit at home and watch TV and eat all day and all that. So I think it's important for people to get out if it's possible for them, and go for walks or runs, and, you know, especially for the athlete, because they do have to keep themselves in a shape in case, you know, we all wishing hopefully something, I don't know what, but like if something happened and we're able to resume the season, would be, you know, they got to come back and play right away. So, but it's, you know, the good part is about that, it's the same for everyone. So, you know, all the players go through it, and it's not like one team has an advantage over the other. It's the same. You know, I feel bad for the, well, think about the Olympic athletes. You know, they've been working, you know, to their goal for, you know, maybe once in a lifetime chance to be in Olympics, and training for 3 years, 3.5 years, and now the Olympics been moved. So it's not convenient for anyone, but at the end of the day, you know, there's people dying, and there's a lot bigger issues than sports, and that's kind of how we have to look at it. And whatever you needed to do as an individual and to be prepared for your job, then, you know, you just got to find a way to do it. So,
Thomas, as we look at the Predators this season, we've seen obviously more of a split with the goaltenders in Pekka-Rinne, who you obviously know, and Juuse Saros. And I'm curious of your thoughts of when you look back in the early days of the Preds, whether it was you and Mike Dunham or you and Chris Mason, of just how important it is to not only, you know, play your game, but also know that you have that guy next to you, like Saros and Rinne are to each other. How important it is to have that teammate?
It's always important. I mean, hockey, you know, and it's been the trend. You look at the trend over the last 10 years, you know, it's less and less being that, like, one, you know, goalie who's like an unquestionable superstar and he plays all the game. I mean, more teams going with tandems and trying to have a both goalies who are being good, you know, reliable players they can put in any time. And, you know, obviously with the speed of the game, injuries, all that, you need depth on the position, not just from respective of NHL. You need good goalies in a system, in the minors and all that. So I look at the teams around the league, and, you know, all the good teams. So you look at Boston, who's the number one team in the league. They probably play play, let's say, 60 to 40 in between Rask and Halak, and, you know, both goalies performing, and they're both rested. They both, you know, are ready to play the games. They haven't have any significant injuries. And to me, nowadays, that's the way to go. And I think Nashville has that opportunity with Pekka, you know, obviously having all the experience. And, yes, he's, you know, like the season, it's always funny. Unfortunately, you know, with this what happened, you know, you can have a Vezina caliber season, and then, you know, it doesn't go well in the playoffs or something, and it's not a good season, and could be the totally other round, and that could go, you know, they've been playing Saros more. He's obviously goalie who they're looking in the future, and he's been, you know, the backup for a while, and he's been kind of slowly pushing for that more playing time. So, you know, Nashville is a, to me, I mean, it's a little disappointing where they are in the standings. I look at how the team is built, and I think it's one of the best teams in the league. I mean, it hasn't translated totally on the win and losing column right now, but that doesn't mean, you know, all you need to do, especially for a team like Nashville, you need to get in the playoffs, and after that, it's a brand new season, and if there is a playoff, you know, they're as dangerous a team as in any team in the NHL, at least from my point of view. What I, you know, see their depth and quality of their, you know, especially the defense and all that. They're a very good team.
Well, Thomas, it's been great to hear your voice. Great to catch up with you. Always great to do that. I know a lot of people who you made an impact on here We'll appreciate hearing from you, and including one that just sent me a text right now. You know Greg Harvey very well, you know, the old traveling secretary, the director. So he said to make sure to pass along that he says hello.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, say hi to him back. Absolutely. We had some good times with
Harvey. All right, sounds good. Well, Thomas, we'll check in with you down the road. Stay safe down there, and we'll keep in touch. Great to talk to you once again.
Okay, guys. Same to you, and stay safe, everybody.
All right. Thomas Volkoon, former Predators goalie. When we come back, we will reset things. We'll tell you where the vote is on the first day. We'll let you know if there's been a surge, thanks to campaign manager Chris Mason. And maybe Greg Harvey will join in the campaign manager as well to try to match the voting machine that Taylor Lewan has put together. We'll tell you about it because both of these guys, the voting turnout for this particular matchup, the 8 versus 9, has been quite outstanding. Yes. All right. So we'll tell you about it in a moment as we continue with Darren Donick and Chase here on 102.5 The Game.